I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Sí mismo, la pide Gabri Veiga, la apertura hacia la banda, recibe el canterano y goleador, la pone Gabri, el centro. ¡Ay, madre de mi estadio del Español! Ahí va la carrera, va en barba. Y en qué momento en barba de nuevo para mantener al Almería en primera división.
Welcome along to the La Liga Lowdown podcast. My name is Ruri Barlow. You've just heard from Gabri Veiga scoring for Celta. We've heard Almería and Adrián Imbarba converting a penalty that keeps them in La Liga. I'm joined by Paco Polit, a relieved and exhausted Paco Polit, who's just come back from covering Valencia's draw with Betis, which keeps them in the division. Paco, how are you doing, aside from the obvious tiredness?
Well, obviously very tired, because it was a very exciting Sunday overall, but obviously relieved in some sense for Valencia being able to avoid the drop. But as I said earlier today in the broadcast, remaining in La Liga is one thing, and salvation is a whole different issue. And Valencia won't be salvaged till Pitoli miss out from the management. But leaving that aside, obviously, plenty of drama for Valladolid fans. They couldn't get the job done. Pretty interesting game between Elche and Cádiz. Much more interesting than I really expected before. As you said, Celta, with that Gabri Veiga's brace, being able to beat the champions. And overall, the most feisty game was the Espanyol-Almería, with plenty happening during the game and after the game, because I believe we're going to touch upon this issue later. Ruby more or less admitted that it's very tough for any manager to really work under the Sheikh's influence over there, and he's, you know, departing Almería, which is more or less surprising. And yeah, obviously, Betis and Valencia drawing. So plenty of things to touch upon, and I think it was a very exciting day overall.
Yeah, we'll get to the European race in the second half of the show. We'll get to Osasuna, who are back in Europe after a healthy absence from competition. But there is no other place to start than at the José Zorrilla and Valladolid, 0-0 against Getafe. Valladolid, who I think, if La Pucela were presented with the opportunity to play Getafe on the final day of the season at home, knowing that a win would keep them up, knowing that Getafe themselves were in dire straits, didn't get a single shot on target, it has to be said. Pezzolano was in tears at the end. Ultimately, I think this has to go down as a failure, and the question that comes up to my mind is, obviously, Pacheta, Pezzolano, did they get it right? Paco, your initial thoughts on that?
Obviously, I think that they got Bordalas in their game, and you only have to check out, you know, overall the tension was tangible throughout the whole 90 minutes, and obviously the aggregate in the extra time and the injury time in the first half, in the second one, because Bordalas just did his thing. You know, overall, you see Bayali taking 15 shots, none of them on target, and which is more or less, I would say, a bit tricky on the you know, on the neutral viewer, because I remember one Gonzalo Plata attempt late in the second half, which went like this close from the angle, and that would have been, you know, remaining for Valladolid and saving from the drop and Getafe going down. So it was a very, very tight. It was, I would say, walking the tightrope, which is one of Jose Bordalás's specialties. So, you know, they went into Nuevo Jose Zorrilla with the only goal of not really allowing Valladolid to play, at least in their favored playstyle, and they absolutely succeeded. You know, their levels of experience, veteran attitude. I remember Damian Suarez in the injury time in the second half. You know, he seemed to have some cramps, some pain, subs on the on the injury time for Bordalás. Overall, it was, you know, what we expected. Getafe went to Valladolid with the need of picking up 1 point, and they got the job done. Whereas for Valladolid, you know, the heartbreak was very cruel for them, because in many moments of the second half, with everything which was happening over in Cornellà, even the 0-0 favored the sides. You know, it was enough for them. So even we speculated with, you know, the Biscotto and both of them just calling it a day and, you know, shaking hands, a draw, 1 point apiece, and it's enough for both of them. But unfortunately, Almeria were able to level, and yep, Valladolid are a second division side. I'm sure that Valladolid fans will be devastated today whenever they listen to this. But yeah, as you said, it's been a very weird season, very challenging for the players. It seemed that they had been able to course correct with both Pezzolano first, and even before, with the signings coming in January with Sai Larin, the Canadian striker, which has been quite, you know, a revolutionary addition for the attacking front. But it wasn't enough, you know, under Pacheta it wasn't enough, and ultimately under Pezzolano it hasn't been enough. So maybe in the tightest relegation battle in many, many years, unfortunately for Valladolid, they were the ones to be sacrificed in the end.
Yeah, it should be said, they did get relegated on 40 points, just 1 point behind Almeria, and yeah, most seasons that is going to be enough. Kyle Larin, as you mentioned, Salim Amala had an impact before he was injured, but we did say kind of at the start of the season that they were lacking a little bit of quality, and ultimately Larin arrived just a little bit too late for them in this case, but very highly unfortunate to go down, it should be said. And Getafe, Bordalás, it was football champagne in its very purest expression. 65 passes in 102 minutes of football, which is really quite something. At the end of the game, there were good scenes with the Getafe away fans. You had Iglesias and Damian Suarez standing on the kind of edge of the stand, kind of conducting the Getafe fans, and Bordalás getting soaked with a mixture of things. I don't know if there was any champagne in there, but getting soaked in the dressing room by the Getafe players after the game, singing Te Quiero Bordalás. Yeah. So job done for Bordalás again. We move on to Espanyol.
By the way, really happy for him, because I think that he's, even with all of the, you know, shithousery that his teams often perform, I think that he's a great manager. I think that he's possibly one of the coaches in Spain which is able to really extract over 100% of the potential from any side that he's able to coach. And yeah, many will say that the playstyle isn't, you know, the epitome of flair, that it's not interesting to watch, that it's not fun to watch. Okay, but for these kind of situations, I think Getafe just nailed it with his appointment, and he's been able to, I believe, in the last 6 games or 7 games, get the job done. So mad props for Jose Bordalás and his staff.
Yeah, he's somewhat Mourinho-esque at times, but without some of the shameful abuse of referees. Moving on to Espanyol, 3-3 against Almeria. And Yeah, this was a back and forth game in which Espanyol took the lead. Almeria equalised. They were back in front at one point, and it went back and forth. Eventually, Luka Golioso scores in the 73rd minute and is sending Almeria down, as you're saying, until the 87th minute. And it was very much a photo finish in La Liga this season, and it was a photo of Ramazzani getting brought down in the box on the VAR, which reversed the decision. He was initially booked for a dive, I think. And then the penalty gets given. Adrian Barba steps up, scores a brace against his former club, of course, in the 87th minute. And Almeria saves themselves. And despite winning just one game all season away from home, Almeria somehow coast home on their home form.
Yes, I think this game was, it provided plenty of drama during the evening because, first up, Espanyol, and we have to point this out, they performed a protest on top of the pitch during the first minute. They decided to not play the ball, to not really, run around. All of the players stood in their place for the first minute of the game because they were, standing against most of the ref calls during the season and everything which has happened to them. They considered themselves, to some extent robbed in many ways, and in crucial games, crucial calls have ultimately dragged them down, which is ultimately unfortunate because for many minutes when they were beating Almeria 3-2, if, for example, last week against Valencia, the referee had allowed that goal, which was later disallowed with the Mamardashvili foul over the keeper. If that goal had been allowed and Espanyol would have picked up the points, winning tonight would have meant salvation for them, which is, so close, so to the last minutes and to the last game, which is unfortunate because ultimately Espanyol have been fighting tooth and nail for 99% of the season. And today, with nothing to lose, you really saw that they were, Puado scored an amazing goal. Also, Coleosho got that 15 minutes from the end. And I think that in my book, they are going to be one of the top favorites next year for promotion once again. Many protests, by the way, in the ground against Espanyol's ownership. And speaking about Almeria, as you said, the season went awry very, very early with the departure of Umar Sadiq, who left for Real Sociedad after the first couple of games. Ramazzani has been too irregular. I would say he didn't have the consistency in the attacking front to become, that kind of striker or attacker which the team really needed. And yeah, they had their ups and downs. It's been a very tough season for them, especially on the road, as you said. But in this game, they had to get the point, and they ultimately did it. And as I said earlier, I think that the most relevant highlight of the game took place in the press conference after the game, when Rubi stated in the press room that he's departing Almeria because he doesn't really feel that he's able to really work 100% of his ability with the ownership that is currently bossing over in the club. So he decided that he has had enough. He's leaving, and it was Rubi's last game over in Almeria. Picking a new manager is going to be challenging for them because it requires a special kind of attitude, relaxed mood, I would say mano izquierda, as we say in Spanish, like being able to sway around all of the turmoil which often takes place inside Almeria within the club, and choosing and finding a manager who suits that role and fits that role isn't going to be easy for them.
Yeah, as you say, it's important to know how to manage up in these clubs where there's kind of a strong, opinionated owner. And Rubi, as you were saying again, said he couldn't full ability of his kind of staff and everything. And that they'd accomplished their target. It staved off relegation. They'd increased the value of their players, and job done. We're going to walk away. And I think that's pretty fair enough for Ruby if he feels that he's not going to have fair the backing. Game. Yeah, it's applaudable, because a lot of managers would just hang on and stick in there. But ultimately, job done for Alan Maria. There was a lot of tears in the stands at the RCD Stadium. And just on that point of the referees and the complaints, to put this in context, 13, I counted, well, at least 13 sides in La Liga of the 20 have put out official comunicados or statements or used official club media to complain about referees this season. So at that point, I feel like it's very hard for certain clubs to say that they themselves have been mistreated, that it's an agenda against them, if so many sides have gone out of their way to say this. And yeah, that includes the top three, it includes the bottom three. Elche today were tweeting out against Cardiff about two goals disallowed, which we'll come on to very, very shortly. But I mean, this is against the Cardiff side where they had a clearly offside goal given for them in January, which Cardiff themselves protested about. So yeah, it's been a bit of a mess this season in terms of refereeing, but agenda-wise, I have very little time for clubs using official media to complain, to be perfectly honest. But moving on from referees, we'll go to Elche Cádiz. Lucas Boyer equalised the Gonzalo Escalante goal in the first half from Cádiz. Ultimately, a point was enough to keep them up, and Cádiz were never really in too much danger like Valencia. I mean, Valencia were in a little bit more jeopardy, but Cádiz were kind of in the clear, and Celta ended up being in the clear as well. Gabri Vega with a brace, the first one a lovely finish, the second one probably a bit of a fluke, let's be honest. I mean, he crosses it and it ends up in off the post, but a brilliant goal ultimately beats Marc-Andre ter Stegen and Iñaki Peña, and Ansu Fati gets a late consolation. But two games, two teams that stay up, that are very happy, and yeah, less drama on their end.
Yeah, in Cadiz's case, I think that if you set aside the goal that they scored early in the first half, the rest of their game was pretty awful. You know, they didn't really perform properly throughout the game, and I think they were outmatched by Elche. Elche should have won this game easily, and they had a couple of disallowed goals with very, very tight and narrow offside calls by the ref, and VAR into action once again. And I don't know, the desire and the drive that I saw from Elche was far superior for, you know, the need of securing at least a point from Cádiz. I was not very impressed by Cádiz's game, but ultimately they got their job done, and that was enough. Whereas for Celta, I think they showed a very similar level of drive if you compare them to Elche, with the difference that they were playing against a side which were already on a holiday. You know, the only reason for Barca to really play this game was for Ansu Fati to score his goal, because he has tried to, you know, turn around a bit his season, which has been disappointing for both performance and injuries, with a couple of late goals in the year, and also, you know, trying to secure the, you know, the Zamora Trophy for Marc-Andre ter Stegen. As you said, I don't think it was a fluke. You know, I think that Gabri Vega definitely was trying to do something like that when he scored the second goal. But yeah, Gabri Vega, who has been overall not that consistent this season, because there it got to a point around Christmas, January, when all of the buzz surrounding him, you know, he had become the next big thing, many, many teams behind him, all of the fuss surrounding his contract extension, if he's leaving, whatever. I think that he got distracted, and his performance in the last 10 games hasn't really been up to par. And tonight against Barca, you know, maybe in the best scenery, I don't know, with the best kind of opposition in front of him, with all of the lights pointing at him, he showed his quality and the future that he embodies. So I think that it's very tightly related to his performance. This is the kind of player whenever playing against Barca, Atletico, Real Madrid, really shines, and that kind of hair to Iago Aspas, you could see him late in the game, watching the, you know, the mobile phone with all of the different scores happening at the same time, suffering for his side. Overall, Celta have been pretty lacking in the last 10-15 games, but ultimately they had a very tough bone to really chew on, which was beating the champions, and they did so. So fair game for them, and, you know, deserved remaining in La Liga because they got the job.
Yeah, it was a very emotional day at Balaidos, and you mentioned Gabri Veiga and all those rumours. It looks as if he's perhaps going to be off in the summer. I mean, given the way that he reacted and given the way that he was in tears at the end of the game. I mean, he was in tears basically all game. He was in tears after his first goal, he was in tears after his second goal, after he came off, and then again at the end of the game. So a lot of tears for Gabri Veiga, who was very happy, tears of happiness at the very least. But yeah, Balaidos, Celta, congratulations to them for staying up ultimately, even if it's been a bit of a struggle. And Cardiff, job done again. Sergio Gonzalez, I mean, we say it the last 2 years, that 3 years even, that Cardiff have been in the division. Kind of, yeah, this is one of the three, four bottom squads or squads containing the least quality in La Liga, but they continue to get the job done and play above their abilities. Coming on to the kind of the final game in the relegation race, which is obviously Betis against Valencia, 1-1 draw. I'm sure, Paco, you were feeling pretty scared after 1 minute when Ayoce Perez went through, scored a goal after 1 minute, and then Diego Lopez came, equalised again in the second half, and again it's Paterna, again it's the youngsters that are doing it for Valencia. Yunus Musa got sent off late on, but ultimately it didn't matter, and Jose Gaya, end of the game, came out and said, yeah, look, I mean, we're glad for survival, we're happy to stay up, but it's also been an absolutely dreadful season, so we can't be too happy about this. And I imagine that probably sums up some of your thoughts, Paco.
Yeah, you know, many issues to reflect about. I can't understand what was Yunus Musa thinking. You know, the challenge was awful and unnecessary. I can't, you know, I was absolutely astonished by his tackle late in the game. No need to do that, and the red card was a fair red card. He was sent off, and it shows more or less his performance in the last stretch of the season. You know, for a number of games in the last 10-12 games, Ruben Baraja hasn't really played him a lot. He was one of the subs during the second halves, and that happened for a reason. And tonight we did see why Baraja decided to trust Javi Guerra, which is a newcomer, rather than Yunus Musa, which is an international player for his country. Leaving that aside, obviously the first goal being allowed in the 55th second was dreadful for Valencia. Once again, they have showed so many signs this season of weakness in many ways, and, you know, allowing Betis to easily score in the first minute was just another example of that. But yeah, you know, the chances of Valencia going down were so small, and all of the party mode which was set upon the ground ultimately played against Betis, because Betis weren't really playing for anything. They were just trying to deliver the best tribute possible to Joaquin, who played 57 minutes, I believe, and he was pretty emotional before the game, during the game, and after the game. So I think that the whole tribute was very touching on the overall context. And actually, Joaquin, after the game, during the press conference he offered, he said that he was happy for being able to cap off his tribute day with Valencia saving themselves from the drop. So overall, it was the perfect night for him. Diego Lopez scored once again, three goals for the newcomer, which is one of the youth academy players, which Ruben Baraja just pulled like a rabbit out of the magician's hat. Javi Guerra, Diego Lopez, Alberto Mari, those three players have delivered a lot of the goods for Valencia in the latest couple of games. And actually, Diego Lopez with his goals has been crucial for them to avoid the drop, because he scored against Real Madrid, he scored tonight, and all of his goals meant points for the team, which is, as I said, absolutely vital for Valencia. So overall, the season, as José Luis Gaya stated, has been an absolute disaster for Valencia. I would say it's been an utter failure from top to bottom, and that Valencia tonight were only playing for the right to call this season a failure, or the right to call this season a disaster. And that was, you know, the narrow difference between both of them. So fortunately for the fans and for the club and for the history which is behind Valencia, 104 years, this season is only a disappointment and not a disaster, thanks to, fortunately for them, only four teams being worse than Valencia overall in the
past. Yes, plenty of food for thought for Los Che, and plenty to mull over the summer. Chew over is perhaps a better verb for that. And at the very least, Pipo Baraja and Carlos Marchena did get the job done. Touching tribute for Joaquin, I should say, as well. 622 games, Andoni Zubizarreta's record appearances equaled there by Joaquin, and it takes Joaquin into the history books for all the records he hadn't already written. But we'll take a quick break, and then we're going to come on to Osasuna and the European race.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to part two of the La Liga Lowdown podcast, the matchday 38 recap. Shrey Barlow joined by Paco Pollitt. You've just heard from Osasuna's official account the sound of the fans and the players celebrating their return to Europe after 16 years. It was a 2-1 win over Girona that got them over the line. An Ante Budimir double in quick succession. Reinier Jesus pulled one back after a good header, and yeah, it's a great season for both, it has to be said, but ultimately for Osasuna, this is massive and just a reward for just how well they've been doing in recent seasons.
Yes, I think it's a perfect gift for Osasuna fans, and that they utterly deserve this kind of, you know, ending for the season. I think it was the fairy tale in the Copa del Rey. Unfortunately for them, they were unable to beat Real Madrid's might in the final, but them squeezing into that seventh place, which gives them the right to play next season. I believe they have a playoff round in the Conference League before entering the competition. But yeah, I think it was the perfect way to finish a very bright season overall for Osasuna, for their fan base. I want to point out the job done by Yagoba Arrasate at the helm in the sidelines, and also the sports direction in Osasuna, Braulio Vázquez. I think that he has shown that he might well be the best sports director in Spain whenever signing players for peanuts. You know, it's not the same. We're talking about being the sports director for a juggernaut of a team. It's easy whenever you have money, you know, because it's easy to find players in the market and sign them. But when you don't have that kind of financial muscle and that kind of support, you have to be very smart, very quick, very agile in the market in order to sign players for a low fee and also be able to, you know, pick the perfect moment to sell them whenever they really, you know, have their big breakout season. So overall, I think that Osasuna has been run very, very smoothly in the last 5-6 seasons, with the board, with Braulio in the sports direction, with Yagoba in the last few years, and overall they might be my equipo revelación this season, especially if you check out the rest of the standings. Ultimately, you know, Barça, Real Madrid, Atlético, Real Sociedad over in the Champions League, Villarreal, Betis in Europa League, all of them were European contenders. And I would also add maybe Athletic Club, but Osasuna just came out of the blue, and from the beginning of the season they showed that they really wanted, they had that desire to achieve greatness this year, and I'm happy for them because they managed to do so.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that on Braulio. I did an interview with him earlier in this season and he said exactly that. He said that basically between kind of, well, in July, we're not doing anything because either we're picking up players right at the start of the transfer window, we're trying to get to them early before other people get there, or we're picking up players right at the end of the transfer window if it's an opportunity for us. So yeah, you're on the money there with Braulio, at least in terms of what he's saying. But I wholeheartedly kind of back up and agree with what you were saying there. And Budimir, I think, is the record signing. It's 8 million, but outside of that, Juan Cruz, a couple of million. Moy Gomez, 1.8 million. He's been absolutely fantastic for them this season. And they've more or less invested very little. I mean, look at the stars of this season as well. Ez Abde on loan, Aymar O'Roth, who's come through and has looked very, very good, especially in these closing weeks. And then that back line, David Garcia, Unai Garcia, Aridane. Not a lot of money spent there. So, yeah, Just Reward, as we're saying, 10th. 11th, 10th and 7th is now Yagoba Arrasate's record in La Liga since he got them promoted as division winners in Segunda. So yeah, huge for Osasuna. The scenes at El Sarar. Just a very quick look ahead. How do you think they'll do kind of next season in Europe with both fronts to come?
I think that they have high chances of you know, being able to move on to the group stage. I think that they are, maybe because of the gravitas surrounding La Liga, I think that they are going to be the favorites in the first round, and in the group stage anything can happen. But ultimately, I think that their performance in La Liga will not be as outstanding as this season, because these kind of sides always suffer whenever they face three competition season. They have the Conference League, also Copa del Rey, also La Liga, where they will find themselves playing every 3-4 days, and that takes a toll on usually very short squads, 20-18 players, a number of youth academy players trying to help. But I think that they won't perform as well as this year in La Liga. They won't do the same also in Copa del Rey. I don't see them, you know, moving on once again to the final rounds. But they are going to have an amazing season in Europe, enjoying the delight which is playing European competitions. So I think it's going to be challenging for them, but they are going to be very, very happy to tackle the challenge.
Yes, enjoying the fruits of their labour, you might say. Zoroniak and Felicidades to Osasuna and all of Los Rojillo. Girona, of course, kind of went down in this game and ended up finishing 10th, but very respectable finish for a team that just came up, especially a team that came up for the playoffs. Michel Sanchez has been renewed until 2026, so hats off to them as well, a team that played brilliant football. Moving on to Athletic Club, who finished 8th. They were on 51 points, Osasuna on 53, Mallorca on 50, Girona on 49, and Rayo 49, and Sevilla 49 as well in 12th. But Athletic Club 1-1 away from home at the Bernabeu. They were on course for their first win since 2005 against Real Madrid away from home. They'd missed a penalty from Mikel Vesca, a good save by Courtois, and then they'd gone 1-0 up through Sunset. Then Iñaki Williams misses a massive, major, simple chance, simple one-on-one, to be perfectly honest. And then they concede a penalty shortly after, which Karim Benzema scores. They were lucky enough not to concede a second very late on to Rodrigo, who put one over the bar. But this Athletic Club should really be in Europe this season if they had a striker. This was just a summary of their season, wasn't it, Paco?
Yeah, it's a perfect, you know, encapsulation of all of their, you know, strengths and also weaknesses. As you said, Iñaki Williams, Nico Williams. You see, I would say that they have missed, even though it's, you know, playing on my advantage, Asier Villalibre, you know, who has been scoring goals, by the way, in Segunda División. You know, I think that they have had this kind of problem for quite a few seasons already, but again, Iñaki Williams delivers much more than scoring. You know, Iñaki Williams has always suffered that lack of accuracy for most of his career. Nico Williams tends to have lesser of a problem scoring, but overall, it's one of their weakest points, and I think that definitely Athletic Club should try to sign a striker for the following season. But yeah, they found themselves in advantage in El Bernabeu, and later, you know, during the second half, Real Madrid just did their thing. They got a penalty in their favor. Benzema scored and quickly got subbed because they weren't going to risk an injury from the Frenchman. And I think that overall the atmosphere in El Bernabeu was, you know, of delivering the best farewell to Benzema himself, to Marco Asensio, which seems to be on his way to the Premier League, also to Eden Hazard, and who knows, maybe a couple of more players, Mariano maybe, you know, at least we're talking about four or five players which are leaving. Three, four of them have been massive for the team in the last few seasons, so overall they really wanted to deliver a tribute to them, and actually the end result and the scoreline wasn't really that important.
Yes, how crass of you to put Mariano as an afterthought. They did announce his departure as well. Eden Hazard gone on Saturday night and Asensio too on Saturday morning, and then on Sunday morning Benzema's departure was announced after a week of rumours which saw him kind of linked with a move to Saudi Arabia, and it does appear that he will be off there. Ultimately, just a quick word, I'm sure you'll go over this more in the kind of review show that we'll do of La Liga on Thursday, I believe it is, but Benzema, his impact on Real Madrid, his impact on La Liga, a quick thought just before kind of we move into the rest of the week.
Benzema was able to disarm most of his naysayers and haters with tough work, hard work, consistency and constant improvement. I think that he has shown that even when you are playing at elite level, you can always learn new things. And the Benzema, which arrived as a young prospect to Real Madrid 14 years ago, and the Benzema who is leaving, are two radically different players. You know, Benzema got here back in the day as a goleador, as a striker, a pure number nine, a player who was in charge of just finishing what the other players were able to build up. And he slowly evolved to become not only a number nine, but much more than that. Benzema was himself a blend of the perfect number 9, the perfect number 10, the perfect number 11, the perfect number 7. He was able to play in the wing. He was able to play on the build-up. He was able to assist, to score, to press. He did everything. And not many players are able to slot in that easily in a team with the pressure which Real Madrid has, the expectation which Real Madrid had, and also the levels of consistency that you really need throughout the season for being a starter in Real Madrid. So I think that his shoes are going to be very, very tough to fill properly. Filling them is one thing. Filling them properly is another thing. And whereas for Benzema himself, I think he has earned the, you know, the privilege of deciding where he wants to end his career. I believe there's a personal reason behind all of this, regardless of the money and the financial stuff. But I think he wants to end his football years in a much more relaxed way, one that he was definitely not going to have in Real Madrid, which means that you always have the spotlight over you and that you have to be like 100% of your capabilities every single day. So fair game to Benzema. I think he's a great player. I think I wasn't really a fan back in the day, but he slowly evolved into one of my favorites, and I think that he's going to be sorely missed by Real fans and by Real Madrid themselves.
Yeah, responsible for some beautiful goals, some beautiful moments, some brilliant assists, and some fantastic moments over the course of his Real Madrid career. We'll round up kind of the rest of the games now. I mean, there wasn't too much to report in terms of actual meaning in terms of the table, but there were some entertaining games. Atleti 2-2 with Villarreal. Nico Jackson got his 9th goal in 8 games. Pascual, the youngster, equalised late on after a Witzel red card.
Yep.
Correa double, 2 more Griezmann assists. I think that's 31 goal contributions for Griezmann this season, which is more than anyone else in La Liga, taking him above Lewandowski. Highly impressive.
Remember that at the beginning of the season, if I recall correctly, he was only playing the second halves, you know, that last minutes of the games. So it's even more impressive that he, Griezmann was able to contribute to his team in 31 goals between the ones he scored and he assisted, especially as he was handicapped at the first half of the season.
You Absolutely, know? Yeah. It is kind of incredible, the turnaround, not only kind of in his season, but the effect that, and the impact that he's had on this La Liga, despite, as you say, only playing kind of the second half, the second 30 minutes in some cases of games. Mallorca beat Rayo 3-0. Marici got on the score sheet. Angel got a late one, and Copete scored as well. This was Iraola's final game as Rayo manager. He's announced that he's leaving the club, but no kind of happy ending for him. But Javier Aguirre, huge props to him, who took over a Mallorca side that were really struggling at the end of last season and now cruised to safety. It was never, ever in doubt.
My second favourite equipo revelación have been Mallorca, because of that combo between Murici and Kangin Lee. I think that Murici has high hopes of staying in Mallorca, whereas for, I think Kangin Lee is bound for, you know, a move eventually this summer, maybe the Premier League, maybe, I don't know, other leagues, but I think he's set for greatness. Unfortunately for Valencia, who were the ones fostering his talent for 10 years, he left for free 2 years ago, and Mallorca are now going to reap the benefits if they get
a stone in many Valencia fans' shoes that will take some time to remove, I imagine. But yeah, Murici El Feo, as Javier Aguirre would describe him, the ugly one, he looks set to stay. The two of them seem to have quite a good relationship and are probably one of the two of the most entertaining duos that I'm aware of in La Liga. And finally, Villarreal, 2-1 win at home to Sevilla to round off the season and their Champions League qualification. Bryce Mendes back on the score sheet. Mohamed Ali Cho got the second. Eric Lamela pulled one back for Sevilla. Sevilla side that were very much on holiday after their win in the Europa League.
They got the job done days earlier, and this game was just an afterthought for Sevilla. But I think that the most interesting item of this game is the fact that it seems, because I don't really live and breathe the daily news items surrounding Sevilla, it seems that the offer, the extension of contract for Mendilibar, isn't really the best or the most ambitious one for the manager, which turned around Sevilla's fate, not only in La Liga, but also in European competitions. Remember that Mendilibar has given awarded, granted Sevilla many, many millions of euros with that Europa League win and the consequent ticket for the Champions League next season, also as one of the top seeds. And it seems that the extension of contract offer received by Mendilibar isn't really up to his standards. Hopefully for him and for Sevilla, the board will improve the offer in upcoming days. But at this point, it's not really 100% secure that he will continue at the helm, which would be a pity, especially after how much he has shown and really delivered the goods in the league.
Yeah, just a couple more details on that game. Go and check out Bryce's first goal, where you watch Jesus Navas collapse on the floor and look like he is still drunk from the celebrations. And Iaramendi has left La Real for the second time. I think it's an extra 9 years of his last 9 years of his career since returning to from Real Madrid that he spent at La Real. So yeah, congratulations to him. Hope he finds a good home next. But yeah, as you say, Mendilibar, I echo those thoughts. Perhaps Sevilla had other plans and Mendilibar has done so well that they have to offer him a new deal. Whether they offer him an acceptable deal, as you say, probably worth about 70-80 million to Sevilla, that Champions League place. And yeah, without that money, they certainly would be looking at significant sales again this summer, I think. So yeah, it is going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I've got two final questions for you, Paco. I'll let you go to sleep after that. the first one, Europa Conference League. Osasuna, where he's the seventh best team in La Liga this season?
Yes, definitely yes. I think that they are worthy of the seventh place. First up, because they achieved it and they got the points needed for that. And also because they have shown the consistency that they lacked in other seasons. Because it's not the first time in the last 3-4 years that Osasuna show, especially during the first half of the year, that they can fight for those European spots. But it's the first time actually that they were able to sustain that level of quality during the second half of the league. And that's where really all of the, you know, ultimate prizes are achieved. So yeah, I definitely think that they really...
And finally, Valladolid, were they the third worst team in La Liga?
Maybe not, because this year has been very... level in many ways in the relegation race. I think that all of the teams have suffered very bad streaks of results. All of them, Valencia, Celta, obviously, Valladolid themselves, Getafe before Bordalas came in when Quique Sánchez Flores was at the helm. I think that he's a great manager, but something wasn't really clicking. Also, Almeria, as you said, on the road, they have been rubbish, okay? And I would say that Cadiz have been the only, more or less, the only ones who really showed their colors since the beginning of the year, and they have shown that they had a plan and they were going to stick to it, you know? They were trying always to... whenever they picked up the 3 points, it always was with 1-0 win. 1-0 win, 2-1 win, plenty of draws, trying to keep things tight. And they stick to their plan because actually Cadiz don't really have...
Yeah, absolutely. Soldados de Sergio, you can definitely make that argument that they perhaps are lacking a little bit in that department. I think I'm just looking here. Teo Bongonda has 4 goals. Ruben Sobrino has 3. Chris Ramos has 1. Sergio Guardiola has 3. And Gonzalo Escalante has 4. So really not a lot of attacking power in that side. Lucas Perez has 3.
Rory, they scored 30 goals this season in 38 games. That's the bottom line for Cadiz, you know. They have the third worst plus-minus ratio in the competition. Elche has minus 37, Valladolid minus 30, Cadiz minus 23. But they made the most of it. 42 points saved, 2 points over the drop, and they will play one more season in La Liga. So the crucial item here is whenever you lose the game, well, that's tough luck. But whenever you win it, it really depends on 1-0. That's enough. And that's the, I would say, the Bordalás way of life, you know. And I think that also José Bordalás did exactly the same. I can't remember the moment when he was brought in. I believe it was against...
it was Espanyol first, but he only had about 36 hours in charge before Espanyol. That.
Yeah, they lost on the road. They beat 1-0 Celta at home. They lost 1-0 against Real Madrid. They drew against Elche, which was a very, you know, unfortunate mishap. They beat Betis 1-0. They beat Osasuna 2-1. And they picked up a draw against Valladolid. So overall, we're talking about one defeat against Real Madrid, which is more or less expected, and one defeat when Bordalás was only, you know, a day and a half at the helm. That is champagne football.
And on that note, we shall end. Thank you very much to Paco for his company.
And this is possibly the longest spot of the season, which was fitting.
We said we were going to be shorter.
Yeah, which is fitting because many, many things happen. I think that, unfortunately for La Liga, plenty of external issues have plagued the competition, all of the Negreira affair, all of the Vinicius controversy a couple of weeks ago, referees being awful through and through, teams complaining. But if you see it just into the purest, football-wise, obviously, purest form of entertainment, I think this season has been very, very entertaining. Maybe the outcome hasn't been, you know, hasn't delivered satisfaction to everyone, but I think it's been very, very fun. Quite over what many expect, which many expected from the league this season. And overall, I think that everyone got what they deserved. Barca being champions, Real Madrid second, Atletico, Real Sociedad into Champions League, all of the European sides, and finally the three teams dropping into Segunda, and all of the rest of them, five or six of them, which got saved from danger. Everyone have more or less finished in the place where they deserved.
Yes, we shall be back again next week. As I say, we've got written content on our Substack, LLL online at substack.com, at La Liga Lowdown on Twitter. You probably know that by now if you've been following us all season. You should know. You should definitely know. But yeah, farewell from us. Farewell to Joaquin, to Yaramendi, depending on where he goes, Benzema, Asensio, Eden Hazard, and of course, nobody could forget Mariano Diaz.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners, so there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.